Hello everyone, I'm Brian Zimmerman, the Custom Content Editor at Becker's Healthcare. Thank you for tuning into the Becker's Healthcare podcast series. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by our guest as we discuss taking the pain out of New Year high deductible plans. Today, I'll be speaking with Keith Grubel, EVP, Institutional Relationships at BHG Patient Lending. Keith, thank you for taking the time.
Brian, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having us.
Great, so let's dive in here. So the deductible reset for many consumers will happen on January 1st. What does that mean to hospitals and surgery centers?
Gosh, it's a little bit of a loaded question. There's a ton that goes into the change and the reset of the deductibles and obviously the higher out-of-pocket responsibility that patients are going to start seeing. I think this year it's even more significant considering all the challenges that the COVID-19 pandemic has brought along with it, simply due to the fact that many people are still underinsured. Some people are unemployed or underemployed, having salaries cut. And so financially, it's going to be even more important to understand how this impacts business and how to work through the high deductible resets. Just to put in perspective, kind of from a numbers perspective, in 2019, over 47% of employees in the country were enrolled in a high deductible healthcare plan. For a lot of those, obviously, that high deductible healthcare plan, and we see in our portfolio, it winds up being a large out-of-pocket responsibility. When we quantify that, we generally see loans averaging about $2,400 to $2,600 for patients to help cover their out-of-pocket responsibility costs. It's a significant amount of money. What happens is that a lot of times that deductible alone, because we know that recently a lot of studies have done research on what people are fearing and what patients are dealing with, and they come to find out that the financial responsibility of healthcare, the cost of that care, is one of the biggest factors that drives fear and people avoiding healthcare. So coming into the beginning of the year, one of the biggest issues that I think we may see if we don't start getting ahead of it a little bit more is that patients may not show up to receive the care that they need, or maybe putting off and deferring care that they need because of the cost. A majority of those patients are looking at their deductible and thinking to themselves, I don't have $2,500 for a surgery. I don't have $2,500 in the event of some sort of an emergency. And so they might defer some of the care that they need, which is a little bit scary. Obviously, longer term, that could lead to challenges in patients' health deteriorating and a number of other issues. So the high deductible comes, number one, with the fear of people not going to see their healthcare providers, maybe not receiving the care that they need. The other challenge that comes along with it, obviously, is how providers are now going to have challenges with their own AR and collections efforts. As we know already, patient responsibility is some of the most difficult portion of the financial responsibility to collect on. A lot of people are revisiting those financial policies right now to figure out how they can manage it. Why? Because they're seeing that, unfortunately, balance sheets continue to grow and continue to expand with more patient responsibility sitting out there as AR, as accounts receivable. And so if the high deductible healthcare plan is going to be driving that increase in AR and the amount outstanding, because the patients that do come in are going to need some sort of a way to pay for it. If a provider is doing internal payment plans or trying to assist patients by letting them make monthly payments on their balances and on their debts, this could be one of the biggest liabilities that gets put on that balance sheet at the end of each month. So definitely critical for the cash flow for the facility, and it's critical for the patients to be able to understand what those costs are, how they can afford them, and have methods to make it easier, more palatable, more digestible to handle that high deductible.
Yeah, you did a really nice job of sort of laying out all the facets of this really, you know, substantial, significant challenge, especially amid the current economic situation a lot of folks out there are facing. So what should providers do to prepare for this? How can they get ready?
So first and foremost, understand the patient's responsibility to the challenges that come along with it and what the patients are going through. Obviously, want to approach it with an empathetic approach and making sure that we're understanding in each of the communities that these providers are located in, how cost is impacting the patients in their area. As we know, obviously, demographic and geographic information, everybody's income levels and challenges are going to be a little bit different in each area. Nobody knows that better than the provider who's been in that community and providing care for these patients and understanding the financial responsibility. So first thing is understanding it, knowing what's out there, engaging with your patients and talking to them as far as you know, what their fears and concerns are and what creates ease for them to be able to handle the responsibility. The biggest driver of all of it, Brian, I think is affordability. Because what it boils down to is that these high deductibles are not going anywhere. We all know that people are unfortunately going to have high deductible healthcare plans until there's some sort of a larger scale reset, if you will, in the cost of care insurance industry. But for right now, that's nowhere even on the horizon. So jumping in and creating affordability for your patients today, figuring out who to partner with, who can help create affordability without adding more workload or more cost to the provider, that's going to be a huge, huge first step, if you will. Understanding it, obviously, looking at how much is generally getting added to the balance sheet, what the collections rates are, understanding the numbers around it, talking to the patients, and figuring out what tools may benefit or be more flexible for the patients, and then diving into finding the right partner who can bring them a cost-effective, efficient, easy way to help patients or to help patients make those payments and create affordability for those patients. I think that's some of the biggest things that we have to do is really kind of start taking a look more holistically at the patient AR challenges and figuring out what solutions are available out there to solve for all of their patients' needs. The other thing is, you know, a lot of healthcare facilities right now are already spread a little bit thin because of the impacts of COVID. As we're seeing this now, secondary or tertiary wave, whatever you want to call it, rolling through the country, we already know that from the preparation and the volume of patients coming into healthcare facilities and hospitals at the beginning of the year, hospitals were under a huge financial crunch. For surgery centers, the shutdown and the fact that elective procedures weren't able to be performed for so long, that really put them in a huge cash crunch. The cost of providing care is going up as we need more PPE and as we're preparing operationally for managing patient loads. So talking about the responsibility right now and getting this as a high level priority on their kind of agenda of things to do getting into 2021 is absolutely critical. They have to start acting a lot more urgently, the healthcare providers, to protect their bottom lines and to make sure that in the face of this, you know, historic economic climate that we're seeing right now, that the pandemic doesn't force their financial position to be so challenging that it makes it difficult for them to provide care or to stay around to be able to take care of their communities.
Some really important points there. I really, you know, just emphasize that bit about, you know, really coming in and creating that affordability for patients, really attacking the problem. And with that in mind, I just, you know, I want to ask you just point blank, do in-house financing plans work?
The short answer to that question is no. And there's a number of reasons why. Primarily, it is about affordability. And that's what I keep using that word, and it's not just a, you know, kind of a buzzword. It's really truly what drives everybody's ability to be able to pay for the things that are in their life. You know, leasing vehicles, when the leasing kind of came out and started growing, all of a sudden people were purchasing more cars or leasing more vehicles because the lease payments were lower than that of a financing payment, and it created affordability for people to be able to drive the cars. Same thing with the cell phone that we keep in our pocket. Most people have a brand new cell phone, and although there's challenges sometimes with income or limited income, because these cell phone companies have learned to figure out how to make an affordable monthly payment that gets added to your bill, everybody can afford to have one. So the biggest driver that I keep telling people is affordability and short-term in-house payment plans do not create true patient affordability. The current system, the way it's set up at a healthcare provider, is broken. The truth of the matter is that most plans are maybe a six-month term. I've heard some hospitals extend to a 12-month term to try to help a patient out. But if you put into context what we just talked about, where we're seeing average loan amounts come in between $2,400 and $2,600 for patient responsibility, well, $2,400 over a six-month payment plan is still way unaffordable for most patients. It's $400 a month. If you put in a 12-month payment plan, it's still $200 per month added to the patient's budget on a monthly basis. It's not affordable for Americans to be able to cover those payments. And what's even scarier is that for the healthcare providers, they're investing a ton of money and effort and energy and time tracking these payments down, calling on patients, kind of acting as quasi-collection agents, if you will, to be able to try to fulfill their balance or collect their balance of patient responsibility. And what it boils down to is the patients are going to enroll in a program because they want to do the right thing, but the truth of the matter is that they can't afford it. the ones that you do see become more successful, it's because patients tend to start leveraging credit cards to go ahead and make those monthly payments. And so now we've created, in hoping to find a good solution for the patient, we've created a terrible financial situation for our patients. That's probably the driving reason why 75% of the bankruptcies in this country are tied to healthcare-related costs. People will leverage their credit cards and unfortunately over-leverage themselves on high-interest compounding credit cards that causes them to pay even more than what they were able to afford to try to make it affordable and pay minimal monthly payments until at some point it just catches up to them. The compounding effect of interest on credit cards, the cost of those minimal monthly payments, potentially a life event, another illness, a job event, and their hands are in the air and they can't afford it. Now we've damaged their credit in addition to put them into a much greater amount of debt than than they needed to be in. So the in-house payment plans from every angle that you perceive it just doesn't work. When a provider is spending 20, and these are industry stats that I've kind of heard thrown around there, 18 to 22% cost for every dollar collected to be able to manage internal payment plans, that doesn't work anymore, Brian. The margins are way too thin in healthcare to be investing capital into chasing, you know, kind of putting good money into chasing bad money. What we have to do is look at a solution that drives the patient engagement, where the patient can talk through what they can afford, when they can afford it, that makes it affordable for the patient and gives them an easy way to go ahead and pay.
Yeah, no, some really important points there. I mean, just, you know, attacking a really big problem with a solution that essentially makes it worse, it does not sound like the way to go for folks. And I want to zoom out here for our final question. Come back to, you know, talking about like how providers think about what's their mindset around the deductible reset, and you know, how can providers help shift this mindset?
That's a great question. So the mindset, I think, really is one that it's the biggest thing that concerns me when we're talking about patient financial responsibility and the collection of patient AR, because I think there's not enough of a focus, not enough urgency around the financial planning, if you will, in some cases. Because the goal is, again, we're looking to do something good for our patient. We're looking to do something good for the provider, but the urgency isn't there. And so what we generally wind up doing is fall into the same solutions that have been around and maybe do a couple of tweaks. Hey, we're going to try to collect more upfront. We're going to extend our payment plans from 6 months to 12 months to make it more affordable. Well, all of these solutions ultimately wind up costing the provider more time and more money. Essentially, if you're extending that payment plan, you have less money coming in the door. So I really want to focus on kind of enforcing a complete shift in mindset. People should be looking at creating as much urgency around the financial planning, especially when it comes to patient responsibility and patient cost, as possible. You know, it's a challenge that's not going to go away anytime soon. So we really have to kind of push forward through this. And some of the things providers can do, not just changing the mindset, but taking action, communicating with your patients more, talking them through the high cost of care, why their deductible is what it is, how much is going to be their out-of-pocket responsibility, what the total costs are that they can expect. Obviously, we have a lot of transparency laws going into effect, but communicating one-on-one with that patient is going to be the most critical thing a provider could start doing, really creating an entire process around managing patient financial responsibility. Again, investing now into some technology or into partnerships with the right companies, the right people that will help patients afford their healthcare and continue to create that cash flow for the provider, investing time with those patients and explaining to them that the deductible is there no matter what. It's a matter of when they pay it and how much they pay it. So if they're putting off care or delaying procedures possibly because of their fear of the cost, well, the deductible doesn't go away, as we know. It's just being chipped away little by little over time. If you can create a financial solution that shows patient your out-of-pocket responsibility is, you know, again, we'll use that $2,400 or $2,500 balance, but we can get you into payments that are $40 a month, and educating them proactively about solutions that are there instead of letting the patient kind of figure out the problem for themselves, you're going to have a much higher level of success. I think that your patients will be more likely to come in the door. You've eased that nervousness and fear and concern around the financial responsibility by engaging it head on and communicating head on. And then the other thing is really just looking again at the current solutions that they're using internally. whether that's a third-party vendor who is not approving all of the credits in your patient base, that's forcing you to have internal payment plans. Now you have multiple methodologies for collecting from the patient. It's creating more stress on the administrative side or on your collections team. All of those things are kind of things that you have to take into account and start thinking about. Looking at bad debt, we have a lot of healthcare providers that hold on to bad debt and will collect small payments from patients over extended periods of time just because their feeling is if I get $5 or $10 every couple of months, it's better than getting nothing. The reality is the cost of collecting all of that is going to be more than what you're actually wind up yielding at the end of the day. So looking at how you're dealing with your aged AR, what you're doing with the accounts receivable that are outstanding, the patient plans or payment plans that are out there that are non-performing, what point do you move that to bad debt? Are you selling your bad debt early enough? Are you pushing it out to collection agencies? How are you moving your bad debt through cycles? Because again, if we don't start managing the financial side of the equation, we won't be able to keep the doors open to provide the healthcare that we're here to do. I mean, we're at record closures, unfortunately, in hospital space. And, you know, surgery centers are struggling, especially the more independently owned ones. I've heard some surgery centers speak to certain elective specialties. Patients are coming back at less than a 50% rate. That's very scary because it's dropping, obviously, the patient revenue and the total revenue coming in the door. But you're also putting patients in danger of not receiving the care that they need and making sure that their health is cared for, which is, you know, kind of our goal at the end of the day, right? So, yeah, I think a lot of focus, a lot of urgency. I think creating a conversation around it. I think being more transparent with the patients as far as costs and educating them more, taking some time to talk with them and educate them instead of just pushing out a responsibility or a dollar amount and saying, well, can you pay this and moving on? Really engaging with that patient, I think, is going to go a long way. Being able to have proactive payment options and plans and, you know, give sample payments to where it eases that concern and that stress, that financial burden, I think that's going to go a long way, obviously. And again, just retooling the way that we've looked at revenue cycle historically and figuring out what we could do a little bit differently to dial in our AR a little bit better, create better processes, more efficiency, and move the revenue through the full spectrum of patient collections a lot more quickly.
Yeah, no, I mean, it sounds like it's just, this has been a lingering problem for a while, right? And it's just reached the point where, you know, we healthcare can no longer afford, providers can no longer afford not to address it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you nailed it right on the head. It's been lingering for some time in patient responsibility. We all know high deductible healthcare plans, especially in the last, I'd say, 7 to 10 years, have just exploded. They're so huge. I mean, you have a tremendous amount of the population who are underinsured because they can't afford the out-of-pocket responsibility that comes along with their $250 monthly premium. So it's, you know, it's definitely a challenge that continues to grow. Again, COVID, I think for me, has really put a huge spotlight on the need to do something more proactively, more quickly, more aggressively about this problem. And for healthcare providers, I think it just gives them the opportunity to really jump in and take this time to look at how the high deductible plans are going to affect their bottom line and do something positive and proactive to make sure that they're in the best position to succeed. They're creating the most affordable options for their patients, and they're creating the best patient experience possible. Because let's face it, financing is probably the greatest, one of the greatest issues with patient satisfaction. If they're not having a good affordable financial process or a good affordable financing option, you know, the patient satisfaction tends to dip a little bit. So it really helps solve problems all the way around.
Absolutely, absolutely. Keith, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Thanks for joining us again.
Awesome. It's always great being here, Brian. Have a great holiday season. Thanks for the time.
We also want to thank our podcast sponsor, BHG Patient Lending. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com/podcasts.